In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I'm going to read again this prophetic word from this conservative website given about 40 years ago in 1969. And it says, this priest envisioned a post-imperial papacy shorn of all wealth, of all pretenses, of all earthly power. From today's crisis, a church will emerge, he says, tomorrow that will have lost a great deal. She will be small, and to a large extent, will have to start from the beginning. She will no longer be able to fill many of the buildings created in her during the period of splendor. Because of the smaller number of her followers, she will lose many of her privileges in society. Contrary to what has happened until now, she will present herself much more as a community of volunteers, as a small community. She will demand much more from the initiative of each of her members, and she will certainly also acknowledge new forms of ministry and will raise up to the priesthood proven Christians who have other jobs. It will make her poor and the church of the little people. All this will require time. The process will be slow and painful. The theologian was Joseph Ratzinger, who is now Pope Benedict XVI, and his vision from 40 years ago may now unfold in ways that he could never have imagined. So right now what I want to look at is what the Pope said 40 years ago, that the church will be small and to a large extent will have to start from the beginning. So as we look at the beginning, this is very important. We find the beginning in the Acts of the Apostles. We find the beginning in the letters to St. Paul, of St. Paul. We find the beginning in the early church. And the first thing I want to see, what we had in the beginning, were men that were empowered with the Holy Spirit. We had men that were zealous. We had men that had someone to live for and someone to die for. They would go to death for who Jesus was and is. First of all, you need men, people that are so convinced that nothing, no demon from hell, no angel from heaven would able to stop them from proclaiming the word of God. You need men that are men. We do not need wimps. Paul tells us that there are different gifts. One of the gifts is evangelism. Men that will proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, women that will proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with zeal, with power, with unction, not mealy mouthed people, not people that will not just, you know, compromise. If we start at the beginning, we need men that are imbued with the Holy Spirit. We need women that are imbued with the Holy Spirit. We need people that will step aside and count the cost of serving the Lord and proclaiming the Word of God. You cannot start at the beginning without Pentecost. You cannot start at the beginning without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot start at the beginning without vessels that are willing to give their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot start at the beginning with people that want to compromise and get rich and want to play around and have played footsies with the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot compromise. You cannot compromise. If we start at the very beginning, according to the prophetic word of Benedict the 16th, 40 years ago, we need to look at the beginning. We need to look at people who gave their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, people like Paul, who would go around and completely do what he needed to do. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He fasted. He was naked. He was without sleep, and he was tormented by believers and unbelievers, tormented by Jews and Gentiles. Oh, we need people that will be like a bullet that will continue to persevere in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the Word of God. That's what we need. If you want to start at the beginning, according to the prophet, and the prophet is Ratzinger, Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict the 16th, you need men that are not mealy mouse. You need women that are not mealy mouse. You need people that are empowered with Pentecost, that are empowered with the Holy Spirit, that will not be afraid to face even Caesar. That's what Paul did. He wanted to face Caesar and to proclaim the gospel. That's because the gospel burned within him. That's because the gospel was more than words. It was his love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ, his love affair with Jesus, that he would do everything and anything for this Jesus. He talks about this Jesus in 1 Corinthians 13. Oh yes, we hear this at weddings, we hear this at funerals, but you know what? Paul was not talking about love, he was talking about Jesus. He was talking about Jesus. He was not talking about love, he was talking about Jesus. And you know what? I understand, love is beautiful, but God is love. 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 Paul was not talking about what people would think love is, you know. Paul was talking about Jesus. That's who he was talking about. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not love, I am as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have not faith, so that I could even move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods on the fool to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. Love suffers long. Yeah, Jesus suffers long. Love is kind. Jesus is kind. Love does not envy. Jesus does not envy. Love doesn't think about itself. Jesus does not think about himself. Love is not puffed up. Jesus is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own way. It's not easily provoked. Love does not think evil. Love rejoices not in the wrong, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus is the truth. He rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Jesus bears all things. Love believes all things. Jesus believes all things. Love hopes all things. Jesus hopes all things. Love endures all things. Jesus endures all things. Charity, love will never fail. Jesus will never fail. Paul was not talking about love. He was talking about the one he met on the Damascus Road that was patient with him. The one he met on the Damascus Road that was kind to him when he should have killed him because he was killing Christians. The one he met on the Damascus Road that endured all things, believed all things, hoped all things in this man. Oh yes, he was talking about Jesus. Oh, Paul is so convinced about Jesus. If we start at the beginning, we need to be so convinced about Jesus. So convinced about Jesus, about his power, about his mercy, about his love, about is justice. So convinced that ultimately there's either a heaven or a hell. So convinced. So convinced that our message is life to those who believe and death to those who say no. For the one who says no to Jesus is already condemned according to the Gospel of John. Oh, we need men and women that will persevere in the proclamation of the gospel, that will be so filled with the Holy Spirit that nothing will stop them, if we want to start at the beginning. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen. We're going to find these men in an age of compromise. We're going to find these women in an age of compromise. Only the desperate, only the poor, only the broken, only those who know that they have no recourse but Jesus Christ. Oh, it's very easy to say we have to start at the beginning. But where would the church be without people like Peter, who died upside down, professing his faith? Not worthy to die in the same way on a cross that his master died. Without people like Paul, who even when he was in a house jail, people would come to him by the sea, by the Mediterranean in Rome, and he would proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Disciples like Timothy, who gave their life, and Titus, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would we be without people like Andrew, Thomas, who died as martyrs? Thomas goes to India to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Still there. Still there. James, South America. They did not count the cost. They did not count the cost of the proclamation of the gospel. It was in their DNA. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was in their DNA. They were so convinced of the presence of God, so convinced of Jesus, so convinced of His mercy for them and for the world. You do not start at the beginning with mealy mouse people. They were going to have a little retreat. By the way, I'm going to have a little retreat. But it's not going to be mealy mouse. My retreat's going to be in July, 18th to the 22nd, at the Holy Rosary. We're not having a retreat this year at the espousal. So this year we're doing a retreat conference at the Holy Rosary. Between the 18th and the 22nd, we'll have morning sessions. We'll have evening sessions. And we're going to have people that are not mealy mouse, people that have Jesus in their DNA, people that are going to proclaim Jesus and pray for the revival that we all need in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. I'm not telling you that we're going to do it, but we're going to at least host it. And if the Lord wants to do it, let Him do it. But I can tell you personally, I have not the unction of the apostles, but I have proclaimed the gospel for over 40 years, and it was not always accepted and easy. Rejected. But you know what? That's part of the gospel. That's part of the gospel, to be rejected. Persecution. But you know, I'm no example, but I just tell you now, I'm not like Paul, and I'm not like Peter,
but maybe one day I will be. Maybe one day I will be asked to give my life to Jesus. If Benedict XVI, when he was Joseph Ratzinger, said that we have to start at the beginning, we need people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with zeal, that it comes out of their pores. You understand what I'm saying? It comes out of their pores, not out of their mouth. That Jesus comes out of their pores. That they sweat Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? That it's in their sweat glands. That it's in their DNA. That it's in their RNA. That it's in their nuclei, in their cells. That's in their eyes. That they care about people's salvation. That will pay the price. Yes, that will pay the price. Jesus said, when you're about to go to war, you've got to count the cost and see if you're willing to pay the price of the war. Or when you're building the tower, you've got to count the cost to see if you can finish to build this tower. If not, don't start. Oh, I tell you, how many of us have been taught to count the cost? How many of us have been taught to count the cost? Come up to the altar and accept Jesus and it's all done. Receive baptism and confirmation and it's all done. I don't think so. Count the cost. Whatever the cost may be, we need to start at the beginning, but not without holy men and women that seek God above all things, that seek the kingdom of God above all things, that are willing to lay down their lives. Ha ha! Paul said he fasted, he prayed, he wept for the people that he preached to, lest they would turn to other gospels. Beginning, huh? When the priest Joseph Ratzinger said these words, he was being more prophetic than he would ever know. And I will tell you, that is the nature of prophecy. The prophet speaks a word, but it's much greater than what he thinks, much greater than what he feels. He speaks a word that has dimensions that he's not even aware of, and time will show the dimensions of the prophetic word. Start at the beginning. Not without sold out people of God that would do anything for the Master. Not without sold out people of God that don't count the cost of their own life. Of their own life. That they've counted the cost and they're willing to give it up. We want revival? Not without men, women, that will pay the price of rejection. And go on to the next place. For Jesus says, if they don't listen to you here, shake the dust off your feet as a reproach against them and go to the next town. We live in a post-Christian era. As a matter of fact, it was easier to evangelize in the first century. Why? Because we knew they were pagans. Now we have paganism that has crept into the Christian religions. Just recently, a friend of mine was in the hospital. Lovely, beautiful person. We pray for this friend, that Jesus would heal this friend completely. The nurse comes in and said, you know, we'd like to do some treatment. She was doing Reiki on the woman. Reiki. Demonic spirits in a hospital. Big hospital in Boston. It's not Catholic. Big hospital in Mass General. Reiki. Demonic spirits. They don't know there's demonic spirits. They don't know that. I remember a man that we prayed with, MS, or Parkinson's, I think it was Parkinson's, yeah. He even spent a day with me here. We had him walking and touching his toes. Then there came a health provider who did Reiki on him. It was a short circuit between the devil and God. He went right back to all the gross stuff that he was into before. I'm not saying he was gross. I'm saying about the shaking and not able to move, because you got two different spirits. We need men that know the difference between light and darkness, between God and Satan, between the angels of God and the angels of Lucifer. You want to start at the beginning? You can't delve into other things that will hurt people because they have spiritual connections in the realm of darkness. Syncretism has entered into much of the church. Syncretism. That, you know, I love Jesus, but you know, I'm also a witch. You don't say, ah! You're a witch, are you? Are you a good witch or a bad witch? Are you a white witch or a black witch? Honey, if you're a witch, you are opposed to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Maria Vadia Carianda, who will be coming to our conference, I hope, between the 18th and 22nd of July at the Holy Rosary. Catholic evangelist who goes around the world preaching the gospel. Next week she's preaching to bishops and priests. I think she was in South America, it was a Spanish area at least, and Maria Vadia was there. And guess what? There were two or three women in the back. When Father Martin told me this, I knew exactly what they were. They were witches cursing her. Cursing her as she was proclaiming the gospel. And she said she's never felt like she was going to take a heart attack. But her heart stopped beating. Her heart stopped beating hard. They were back there cursing her. Cursing her message. Want to start at the beginning? You better have people that know the difference between light and darkness, between heaven and hell, between Lucifer and Michael the Archangel. Yeah, you want to start at the beginning? You better have men that know and discern light from darkness. It's not easy to start at the beginning. It's not easy because you know what? Starting at the beginning means let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with A, B, C. We've got to begin with A, B, C. Pretending we know nothing. Pretending we know, if you start at the beginning, you've got to begin with A, B, C. Encounter. with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Encounter with the Holy Ghost. Formation in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Mission throughout the world. The gospel is too great to stay in one place. Start at the beginning.
We've got to have our constructs obliterated by the blood of Jesus. Tomorrow I will continue. Tomorrow I will continue. I do want to tell you that we are having a wonderful conference between the 18th and the 22nd of July. I want you to just remember that. I will not be doing a retreat at the espousal this summer, but I'm having a conference here in July between the 18th and the 22nd at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. You save those dates. I'll be telling you more about it. And you know what? The other day when there was a little tornado that blew through Revere, Jimmy the roofer, there he was driving down that place and the roof fell in front of him. And then he went up to the two roofs and he put the tarps on, you know. Imagine, God had him at the right place at the right time. He was driving through Revere. And not only was he driving through Revere, these roofs came in front of him. He wasn't hurt, but he helped these people. I'm going to tell you, that's a gift. That's a gift. Jimmy can be reached if you need a roof, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. Tomorrow is Wednesday. I'll be at the Espousal Retreat House at 7:30. Tomorrow is Wednesday. I'll be at the Espousal Retreat House at 7:30 in the evening. Tell everybody we're going to be there tomorrow evening. And I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. More tomorrow about what Father Ratzinger told us 40 years ago. Now, Benedict the 16th. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.